I don't apologize for being Rosodas, but I know it's a little bit late, and I will do my best to be able. I'll do my best to be able to offer a good overview of today's topic. We are again in our Shiurim in Ramban al Torah. So one of the things that we're trying to do, aside from just understanding Etzem the Ramban's approach, is to be able to understand in general, to contextualize him within the larger world of Machshava, to try and understand in a bit of a broader way what exactly is going on. One of the things that we've seen just so far in terms of the Ramban was a big believer that in the ideal world, a person essentially relies only on bitachon, that a person, if you reach a certain madriga, so the whole histadlus is not really that necessary. We tried to explain last week exactly why that is so. Well, what I want to try to do today is to really offer somewhat of a broader overview of the topic of bitachon and histadlus. To what extent am I supposed to be trusting in God? To what extent am I supposed to be actively trying to accomplish things on my own instead of just trusting in the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's a question that is very, very relevant for Rishonim in terms of general machshava. That question comes up a lot when we deal with the Bali Musar and some Hasidim in terms of what exactly, how you balance things. That question has significant hashkafic implications. Clearly, there are worlds that place greater value on histadlus. One of the reasons why many people go to college or go to university, they perceive that, aside from the potential inherent value that may be there in secular studies, they perceive it as being part of necessary histadlus. If you want to be able to get a job and support your family, so this is part of necessary histadlus. Sometimes a machlokas in hashkafa, a machlokas in world, is a question of assessing the metzias, what's necessary, what's not necessary to be able to support a family. Sometimes it really does have roots in major debates amongst Baalei Machshava in terms of the exact role of Hishtadlus, the exact role of Bitachon. Obviously, it's dependent on other issues also. But that's all there. I want to try today to sort of highlight, I think, three Mahalchim in terms of the relationship between them. There's a lot to talk about. There's Sfarim that are just collections of what people have written about Bitachon. We can't do the topic full, complete justice today, but we can definitely offer, I think, a bit of an overview. The first thing to start is that there is some ambiguity, even in Chazal, in the relationship between these things. A very famous Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So the Gemara here quotes a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai about the requirement a person has to study Torah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, V'yasafta ganech, that a person, even if he is going to be learning Torah, even if he's going to be Mekai and Ratzon Hashem, still, Hanheik Behem Minag Derech Eretz, the person should still have some parnasa. Even if you reach a certain spiritual level, sounds like a person should continue to invest in their ability to work and to be engaged in the world. Shimon bar Yochai says, no, if you're going to be working, you're doing all those things, when are you ever going to learn? Ella says to Shimon bar Yochai, Bizman Shi Yisrael Osir, Ritzono Shel Makom, if Klal Yisrael is engaged in Ritzono Shel Makom, Klal Yisrael is engaged in Torah Mitzvos, Belachta Naas Esaydei Achayim. They don't really have to do anything. Their melacha is going to be done for them. That if they really are at a proper spiritual level, there's no need at all for any kind of ishtadlus. Now the Gemara concludes in a very important formulation, where it says, Amar Abayi harbe asu krebi Yishmael v'asu biyadan. The mahalach of Rabbi Yishmael of balancing, learning, with a certain amount of hanheik ben minag derech eretz, a certain kind of work, that was many, many people who did that were successful. Many people acted like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They just learned and assumed everything would be taken care of. And they were not as successful. Now the Gemara here seems to come to some sort of a conclusion, but we have to even understand what that conclusion is. Rav Chaim Volozhiner and Shar Aleph, Nefesh HaChaim, those that are go to Nisbacher when he does Nefesh HaChaim and Shar Aleph. So you may encounter this. You may have already encountered this. A little bit of a discussion there. But the question itself, it looks like, if you're looking in Chazal, that Rashbi and Rabbi Yishmael already have a bit of machlokas. What realm does Hishtadlus play at all? Here it's in the realm of Parnasa. To what extent do I have to try and ensure that I'm going to have money, I'm going to be taken care of? Or, you know, is it really one of exclusive, just Osir Tono Shel Makom, you take care of Torah Mitzvah, Osir Bono Shalom will take care of everything else. That's a bit of just a background, just a note, some of the questions. And it comes up in a lot of different realms. Let me just try and go through them, and we'll try to make this even a little bit practical. It comes up in the realm of Parnasa. That's the Gemara Maseches Brachos. Parnasa, how much a person has to invest. Now, we'll see even those like the Ramban who believe in a very, very strong way that ideally it's all about Bitachon, believe that there has to be some Ishtadlus for people at our Madrega. But you do have, again, a bit of a Shaila, what kind of, how much to invest Parnasa-wise. You may have questions, a lot of people have these questions like in life, in terms of going to this school or that school. This school I'll have less time to learn. This school I'll have more time to spend with my family. This job requires a lot more. I'll have less time with my family. I'll have less time for my community, but it'll help ensure that I'm in a better financial place. Those are questions that are definitely impacted by Bitachon Ishtadlus. The Rishonim spoke about it a lot in terms of going to doctors. I'm a child of two doctors, and my wife is a child of an additional two doctors. And come from a world that values very, very much. If in the words of the Rishonim, that's a legitimate, you know, shaila, whether ideally a person should go to doctors or not. We'll see in a little bit. The Ramban is not so sure about that. This comes up in a lot of different contexts. And a person in general that is that's very, very serious about their bitachon, you may find a lot of places in life where questions like this come up. How much hishtadlus do I have to invest in finding a potential wife? How much hishtadlus do I have to invest in studying? How much hishtadlus do I have to invest when I'm looking into whatever, a host of different questions that are all going to come up. So first mahalach. First mahalach is a mahalach that very much embraces bitachon and puts minimal value on hishtadlus. That is a mahalach, again, we've referenced this, that the Ramban, on some level, very much embraces. The Ramban says that if you decide, there is teva in this world, and a person essentially has a choice. They can either play by the rules of nature. You want to take the hishtadlus track, says the Ramban, you're playing by the rules of nature. But, says the Ramban, ideally, the Jew of a certain madrega wants to get to the point where he realizes it's all totally ribono sh'olam. God can change nature, and therefore I should try, to the best of my ability, to be kol kulo, to be totally dependent on ribono sh'olam. And again, hishtadlus has minimal value. This comes up, many mefarshim spoke about this at greater length last night with Shir to Israelis in the discussion here about Yosef. Yosef is in prison, and Yosef wants to get out of prison. No one wants to sit there forever. So Yosef is sitting there and interpreting dreams. And he interprets a dream for Saramashkim, and Saramashkim is going to get out. And he says to the Saramashkim, can you please remember me on the way out? Here I have access to someone who's going to be a free man. And he's going to be someone in a somewhat prominent position. So can you please remember me? Most of us would say that is a clear example of mutter and probably even a chiyuv of hishtadlus. What else is he supposed to do? What else? As some of the mefarshim point out, Yosef understood probably correctly, as ended up happening, that the reason why he was there was to participate, to be part of that Yeshua that Yosef was going to eventually have. So Yosef was right even about the Sarah Mashkin being the person that was going to cause it. And Yosef asked the Sarah Mashkim, so can you please remember it? And Rashi quotes the Medrash. The Medrash is a little bit of a troubling Medrash. The Medrash says, that was already, we see, a bit of a chisaron and bitachon that Yosef had. By asking, can you please remember me? Because of that chisaron and bitachon, says the Medrash, Yosef had to stay in prison for an additional 2 years. Two more years in prison because of the chisaron and bitachon. That is very, very troubling as far as the Medrash goes. Really? That's a chisaron in bitachon that he asks the guy, can you please remember me on the way out? So the mefarshim struggle a little bit in terms of what the nature of that chisaron in bitachon is. That's something, again, we spoke about a little bit last night. Those that want the source sheet, we can definitely give it to you. The Beis HaLevi in his Perush al HaTorah has a bit of a well-known explanation of this medrash. Beis HaLevi writes as follows. The Rabbim Chakru al HaMedrash Masha Amar B'tchil said, Yosef, what's going on? Rabbi Yero Pasha. Let's start like this. Hishtadlus, says the Beis HaLevi, is essentially a heter. It's not a chiv or a mitzvah. A person need not feel that there is an obligation at all to engage in hishtadlus. Each person has a heter, hishtadlus. How do you know when I have that heter, when I don't have that heter? So says the Beis HaLevi, v'ikra inyan yishlomar dezeu klal isha yisraeli, shelibo shokir avoteich b'ashem. A person ideally is supposed to be totally dependent on Ribono Shel Olam. A person ideally is supposed to be kol kulo, it's all about God. Shelibo shoki devoteach Hashem. V'hadi tira Torah l'ishtadlus. So why is there a heter ishtadlus? Why is there a heter if you believe it's part of ishtadlus, as most of us do, to go to college? Why is there a heter? Let's get aside from the positive value of it. So why is there a heter to do it? Why is there a heter to go to work? Why is that? Why is there a heter? Why is there a heter that in 2 months I'm gonna have to go to America for, you know, a week and a half? Why is that a? Where's the heter for that? That's basically like this: a person who's really on a madrega, bichlal no need for ishtadlus. Person who is a real, he's at a very, very high level, has no need at all for ishtadlus. Says the Beis Halevi, what is the function of ishtadlus? A very, I guess, fascinating idea. Says that the function of ishtadlus is, when we show him, the local Adam Yachala Gilam Adrega Sapitach or Hagamar, Vakin Hutter Loha Ashtadlus Kadeshi Lo Siyua Shia Gilam Adrega Sapotea. It's like learning Torah Shalom Lishma. Ishtadlus is like learning Torah Shalom Lishma. Learning Torah Shalom Lishma is not the end game. It's at a person, a certain madrega, is now you're ready to learn Torah Lishma, so the Gemara tells us, me Torah Lishma, Baal Lishma. Better to learn Shalom Lishma, it'll help you get to Lishma. A person sometimes is not in the madrega where they can have Bitach and Ribbono Shalom through no Ishtadlus at all. So because he's not in the madrega where he could feel so close to Ribbono Shalom with no Ishtadlus at all, so says the Beis HaLevi, he can do Ishtadlus because the Ishtadlus will help him eventually feel like there's more Bitach. The Ishtadlus will help him. Now, if I have to learn everything, I'm sitting in my room and it's cold, cool, or dependent, that may be beyond my level. But if I have a job and I'm investing a little bit, so now it's easier for me to begin to trust more in the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's going on with Yosef, says the Beis HaLevi? That's why he says, you can never have clear definitions for how much Bitachon and how much Ishtadlus. People that like a lot of clarity, no, 2 hours of Ishtadlus, and then you're... It doesn't work that way because all tali and where exactly you're at called echad lefi madrigasa. Every person in what they need, but the ultimate criteria for the Beis HaLevi is that I want to have enough bitachon that enough ishtadlus that it will help me get towards a state of greater bitachon. All of my ishtadlus is done with in mind. I want to get greater bitachon. So if you look at it this way, our first camp, the people that play up real bitachon and ishtadlus in an ideal world is not even that necessary at all. We really have two mehalchim. The Beis HaLevi says the purpose of ishtadlus is all to help a person get bitachon. It's all to help a person get bitachon. Ishtadlus, its only function is to help you get bitachon. That's why I think there are some who say this is a little bit of a wild idea. You know what ishtadlus really is? You say, you want really to change ishtadlus? Work on your bitachon. That's your ishtadlus, not getting a job. Ishtadlus is working on your bitachon, because all function of ishtadlus is to get bitachon. It's obviously very wild, and not one that I recommend implementing, but there is something there. The Ramban, his mahalach in terms of bitachon and ishtadlus, is that ideally a person should have pure bitachon. However, says the Ramban, is a separate track. If you choose the bitachon track, you're choosing the track that is lamalim and hateva. That's not based on the rules of nature. Says the Ramban, if I'm not at the madrega, so then I take the ishtadlus track, and then I'm essentially choosing, says the Ramban, that I'm functioning in the world of teva. I'm functioning based on the normal rules of nature. My ishtadlus may impact things because I'm functioning in the normal rules of nature. And the normal rules of nature, says the Ramban, if you want to get food, you have to go to a store and buy it. So even amongst those who very much emphasize the value of bitachon, pure bitachon, the ultimate value, the role of ishtadlus for the Ramban is, if I choose a second track to Madrega and I'm going to be in the realm of teva, says the Ramban, for example, ideally, the Ramban writes Parshas B'chukosai, and I've got a very famous comment. A person does not ideally need to go to a doctor, says Ramban, to add this madrega. If you go to a doctor, what you're essentially doing is saying, I'm playing by the rules of teva. So then the doctor's going to be there, the doctor's going to try and heal you. But ideally, a person's not going to be there. Now, we are not, again, Bizman Azeh, as many, many point out, we're not playing this at all. I mean, we're not going with either side here as far as the pure bitachon. We live in a world that requires a child. We don't feel like we're in the madrega to rely on the Ramban's Lamal Midar HaTeva or the Beis HaLevi. Let me just say one other point as far as this general first mahalach. This is something which Rav Dessler points out. We'll see in a little bit Mechel Melio. Bitachon should never be an excuse for laziness. It's very easy to say, says Rav Dessler, well, I have a lot of bitachon, but it's not really bitachon. It's really an excuse to not have to work a little bit. No, I have bitachon. I have bitachon. Bitachon is something which is very, very real, and something which is very challenging. It's a level that is hard to attain. And we have to be careful that, again, we don't work nowadays within this picture at all, but a person who is really cultivating a certain amount of bitachon, you know, so then it's laziness. It's not laziness. It's supposed to be a real kind of, in avoda, that is the first mahalach today. A couple questions very quickly. Yes, Kari.
Does the Ramban uphold his own views when he talks about any more than the Shabbos?
The Ramban's approach in terms of how he implemented it in his own life, maybe we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks. We have mentioned a lot about the Ramban. You think he didn't because?
He's a doctor. No, he's a doctor. He went to
that is not, okay, you have to understand the difference between a lot of different things for the Ramban. It is a difference between being a doctor and going to a doctor. That's a major field for the Ramban.
No, but why was he a doctor?
Oh, yeah, there's a difference because you are healing other people. They may not be in that madriga. The difference between that derachorim, that point for the Ramban. The chiyuv of Lerope, Lerafos, is directed to the doctor. The doctor has to go. There's a lot of talk about it in terms of the Ramban himself. Yeah.
Maybe it sounds like the Ramban is really extreme. He really does place a tremendous focus on each topic if you're not on a
madriga. Exactly. We'll get there in a little bit. The Ramban, this we're talking in an ideal world. As far as us not living in an ideal world, this we actually pointed out in MS Yaakov, Parshas Mikosai, the Ramban ends up being pretty makil as far as ishtadlus once you're not on this madriga. Now, once you're not in his chumrah about the bitachon for the ideal and for the whatever for the elite, ends up being a significant kula, the Ramban does, because once I'm playing by Derech HaTeva, so I gotta really function in Derech HaTeva. My ishtadlus has to be a real form of ishtadlus. Okay, let's keep on. Meaning, in a certain sense, it's like the there's more of a spectrum in the Beis Halevi. Each person, the greater you are, the less ishtadlus you need. For the Ramban, there's really like two tracks. Okay. In the middle approach, you have, this is also actually based on a Ramban, but it's something which Rav Dessler develops in the name of Rav Zundel of Salant. Zundel of Salant was the Rebbe of who? Yisrael Salant. Zundel of Salant was a Talmud of Chaim Volozhiner. He's a Talmud of Chaim Volozhiner, Yisrael Salant is a Talmud of Rav Zundel of Salant. What makes it very interesting historically, this is not a fascinating thing, the Musar movement is founded by Rav Yisrael Salant. It's founded by the Talmud of someone who's a Talmud of Chaim Volozhiner. Volozhin is not learning. When the Musar movement starts out, you really have a fight, not just over whether Musar is important, but in many ways about the legacy of Chaim Volozhiner. Zundel Salant and Yisrael Salant are saying that this is the true legacy of Chaim Volozhiner, to engage in some of this kind of Musar. Rav Chaim Brisker and some of the others who were Rashiv of Volozhin at the time are saying, no, the real legacy of Rav Chaim Volozhiner is a pure, rigorous Talmud Torah legacy, not that much of Musar. So the way that some formulate, if you ever learn Nefesh HaChaim, it's really the question of whether the true legacy of Nefesh HaChaim, of Rav Chaim Volozhiner is Shardal of Nefesh HaChaim or the first three Shars of Nefesh HaChaim. Shardal is all about the Chashivas of Talmud Torah on its own. That's what the Yeshiva of Volozhin was in many ways doing. Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the first three Shars, it's a lot of Kabbalah, it's a lot of, again, working even in different kinds of ways about the avoda that we have. So you have a little bit of a question there. Zundel Salant had the following mahalach. Okay. A person has to have bitachon, and a person has to have ishtadlus. Okay. Ideally, we saw, first mahalach, minimal to no ishtadlus. We're not in that madriga, so we have to have, again, for the Ramban, maybe a lot of ishtadlus, and for Beis Halevi, you know, a bit less. But right now we're talking in the world of ideal. V'kamu ha-pachosh ha-bishtadlus asher u'chrachnu lasos. What is the minimal amount of ishtadlus we need to do? Even that as a question already tells us something about where a person's at. I'm trying to minimize my ishtadlus as much as possible. Source number 12. Kach amar Rabbeinu Zundel Misalant. Halotzvichin la'asop ishtadlus, rak mibnesh ein anu ro'im l'nis, ein anu ru'uyim l'nisim gluyim. We are not ro'i, he says, at our madrega. Now, in a certain sense, this is like a Ramban kind of approach, just implemented the Maisa. We're not in that Madriga. But the way he describes what a person should be doing, let's say we're not on that kind of a Madriga. So, really, we're not right for Nisim Gluyim. Like we referenced last week in like a Star Wars kind of a world. I am not right. We are not right. I would love Rebar right now. Even if I would believe, maybe, with complete, I'm not in the Madriga that a mango mix is going to appear on my table. I'm not in my madriga. We're not there. We can't expect Nisim Gluyim to occur for us. On the one hand. So therefore, we have to have some Hishtadlus because we can't expect a Nis Galoy. If I want to become a doctor, so I'm going to take my MCATs. You can't expect to do well in your MCAT if you've never taken a class in science or you've never studied anything in science at all. If you're me, the last science class you took was probably like 11th grade physics. Other than like two classes I took in college, but those were like One of them was like chemistry in everyday life. That was a lot of it was understanding like the nutritional facts on the side of like a bottle of soda. Like it was like I think my final paper was on like Bisley was like the final like it was amazing the class. Highly recommend it. I don't think it's around anymore. I think another class that was like mine was even wilder than that. Columbia. we haven't taken stuff in a long time. So then. To expect to be able to do well on the MCAT, that's a nice gull. You're expecting an open miracle. We're not on that madriga. So how much ishtadlus do I have to do? Zot to dov salant. Akin anachnu mechuyavim lasos beofen asher hashpa hayoredes elenu ye'efzer litlosa be'ezosiba. We can have decent gluyim, but we can have hidden miracles, so we have to do the minimal amount of ishtadlus that one could assume it happened al derech hateva. Not more than that. The minimal amount, I did as little as possible, that it is based on how much I did, it's possible that I will achieve the result I want. I want to become a doctor. How much do I have to study? Now that's a little bit different because as far as a mitzvah to be able to heal people effectively, and pikuach nefesh and like, you may have to actually like get in your A game a little bit. You want to become a lawyer, let's assume. I don't know if that's the best. I didn't say you want to become a lawyer. So if I want to become a lawyer, I want to study. I'm studying for my LSAT. So I want to study the minimal amount that, based on this, I would be able to then get a certain score. So if I study for 5 minutes, there's no way I'm getting a certain score to get into a good law school. If I study this amount, it's possible. It's possible. As long as you make it possible based on the amount that you do. Bitachon or hishtadlus, the function of hishtadlus is that you can't rely on open miracles. Hishtadlus is about avoiding open miracles. You have to make it look like you're playing within the world of teva. Now, whether that's only because we're not in the highest madrega here or not, not as clear. But there's supposed to be, again, there really is both. But the function of hishtadlus is still the bonus of doing almost everything. It's enough hishtadlus that you talk and it works out. So you say like this. Imkain bazen nigmar hashir. Im al yedei hashtadlus, afa yoser ketana, yem makom l'toer litot b'siba tibis. Could a person look and say, oh yeah, this came from hashtadlus? That's the question. V'ya atzo amar, he said, you know what I do? I need konesh tar hagrala, I buy a lottery ticket. Uvazen yotze yedei chovas hashtadlus. Ki harei im eska begorel esher litloso b'derech hateva. If I win the lottery, you could say it's derech hateva. Now, we could probably take the first step of what he says and challenge the second one a little bit. I'm not aware of the exact likelihood of winning the lottery. My hunch is that it's not. You have to figure out how much it's called derech hateva. Derech hateva. If a guy, you know, I don't know. Most of us, is that called a revealed miracle or not a revealed miracle to be able to win the lottery? It's definitely like not. As standard, and maybe that is the minimal amount that you could claim derech hateva. You have a guy who buys a lottery ticket, it's the minimal amount that you have to invest. Yeah, it works for someone wins it. So, someone could look and they could say, Taki's lucky guy, he won the lottery.
Some lotteries are smaller than others.
Exactly, yeah, but you know that's going to give you enough money to. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to, what's it called, like Powerball? What's that? Anything which has, like, what gets like the nine figures, so then the odds of winning that, that's already like. I mean, Rich Hashem, you know. By all of us, but although I think they say like winning Lav Dafka increases happiness at all. Yeah. You have to. If you ever win, you could talk to me. I can help you. You know, funnel some of it my way, and I'll share in your grief. But you know, that's fine. I'm just saying. In general, you have to know it's not a reason not to buy a lottery ticket. It's just a reason to be wise. Once you do, consult with people that know what they're talking about. Yeah.
Even when there were revealed miracles, yeah. Was anybody at this level that they could just not...
The Ramban for sure thinks so.
Like even the time of like Yeshua...
The Ramban for sure thinks so. Ramban for sure thinks so. Okay. Third Mahalach is the Mahalach of the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos is again, we're going to say it in a little bit of an oversimplified way. Just in terms of, at least to start... We'll say it in a way which is, again, a bit of an oversimplification, but what we're going to then, as we say that, we'll add in some of the nuance. The Chovas HaLevavos writes in Shaar HaBitachon. This is known in general as a very important machlokes between Ramban and the Chovas HaLevavos. Yisrael Salanter talks about this and wrote about this in many of the Bali Musar. Once he spoke about it, then start getting involved in this machlokas also. The Chovas HaBavos understands that a person really has a opinion of Shtandos. You really have to do what you can in order to be able to be successful. You want to be able to make a good living, so you want to be satiated. So I have to have this food in front of me. I have to pick up that food and I have to eat it. Pasha. If you don't have food in front of you, so I have to go to the store to get the food. That's the Shtandos. If I don't have money to go to the store and get the food, then I have to somehow get a job in order to make money. If I don't have a way of making money in order to go to the store in order to buy food, so lechora I have to get an education to be able to go to the store to get money to go to the store to buy the food and then bring it home to then know how to cook it and then to be able to eat it. All of that has to happen. Hishtadlus is totally necessary according to the Chovas HaLevavos. However, the Chovas HaLevavos tells us a couple of different things, and this is where Chovas HaLevavos is also, it's called Shar Bitachon. He's a believer in Bitachon also. So what's the impact of Bitachon? So here we have a couple things to understand about the Chovas HaLevavos. One, Bitachon says Chovas HaLevavos. I have to understand everything comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. The Ribono Shel Olam is in charge of everything. Everything I get comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Everything I get comes from the Ribono Shel Olam. Okay. What is the purpose of Hishtadlus? Why do I have a chiyuv of Hishtadlus? He understands, even ad kedei kach, my Hishtadlus, lav dafka, is what's actually causing me to get this. I have a chiyuv of Hishtadlus. Is that why I'm going to actually get the money? No, I'm getting the money no matter what, because Ribono Shel Olam decreed I'm getting the money. I just have a separate chiyuv of Hishtadlus. I have a separate chiyuv of Hishtadlus. Why is there a separate chiyuv of Hishtadlus? If it's all destined anyway, if there's all about, I have to be tachon anyway to understand that it all really comes from Hashem, so why is there a shtadlus? He points out that there are really two reasons why there's a need for a shtadlus. Reason number one, it is a nisayon. His shtadlus is a test Ribono Shel Olam gives us. You're going to get X amount of money. The question, the test is, are you going to get it in ways that the Ribono Shel Olam wants you to get it? Or ways the Ribono Shel Olam does not want you to get it? Am I going to get it through hard work and through in a mutter kind of a way? Or am I going to do it by crossing lines? Am I going to do it by, you know, violating an isser here or there? So that's really part of the function of Hishtadlus. It's a chiyuv, which is a nisayon from Ribono Shel Olam. It's a chiyuv like other mitzvos are a chiyuv, and this is a particular nisayon, but it's not directly impacting at all the actual whatever I'm going to be getting. It's really not impacting things at all. The second reason, says the Chovas HaLevavos, that there is something called Hishtadlus, is because without Hishtadlus, man would sin a lot. Hishtadlus keeps us busy. Work keeps us busy. One of the things that often allows a person to be successful religiously is the more that you're busy, the more that you have chiyuvim, the more that you have obligations, so I have less time in order to go around and to mess up. I think the Kutzker Rebbe said once that... is there a cup somewhere? Want to use your cup? It is his cup from a second ago. The Kutzker Rebbe used to say that I don't want my chassidim to avoid sin just because sin is so bad. I don't want my chassidim to have the time to sin. But if a person's sufficiently busy, they'll sin less. So Chovas HaLevavos says, the second reason why we engage in Hishtadlus is because it minimizes chet. It minimizes chet. Theoretically, if a person's on a madrega that they can pass these nisyonos, they don't have a potential for chet. Maybe they could even overcome this even for the Chovas HaLevavos. But he understands that there's a real need for active Hishtadlus, but it won't necessarily lead to that result. I'll give you an example. Rav Sternbach, as a Peiros al Torah, Tam Vidas. So in Parshas Miketz, he tells over the following story. I think it's like a Chovas HaLevavos kind of a story. He says over that when he was learning, he lived in England when he was younger, Rav Sternbach, and he says that at the time, the yeshiva he was learning in was, Rav Moshe Schneider, is that the first name? Schneider. So the yeshiva was having serious financial difficulty. So instead of sending out the fundraiser, send out one of the bachurim to go try and raise money. Okay, new dorm's going to be built. Guys, one of you, just take it on, you know, Let's go and raise some money. So the Maisa goes like this. The Bachar goes and he tries to raise money, and he's not successful at all. And he comes back to the yeshiva despite investing a lot of time and effort with nothing. A day later, a very wealthy donor comes to the yeshiva and he donates a significant amount of money. The Rosh Yeshiva comes over to this Bachar and says, Shkayach, look what your trip did. Look how much money we now have as a result of your trip. The Bachar says back, I never met that donor. He's not one of the guys that I approached. There was no kesher bichlal between my hishtadlis and the actual money that we got. Rosh Yeshiva said, no. Lav dafka, is there ever a kesher between them? We have a chiyuv of hishtadlis. You engaged in our chiyuv of hishtadlis. The bonus owned then took care of it. Whether it's taken care of by way of your ishtadlis or it's taken care of through another means is irrelevant. I have a chiyuv of ishtadlis. I have bitachon Hashem will take care of me. Lav dafka, is there a connection between the nature of my ishtadlis and the where the success will even come from? Maybe it won't come as a result of mine. So what you get is something fascinating. And this again, can I point out? Kind of point out in Sefer the Ramban. On the one hand, the difference between the Chovos HaLevavos and the Ramban, in an ideal level, if you want to play the Chumrah or Kula game, you have a little bit of a hard time with the Ramban and Chovos HaLevavos. In the ideal world, you may say the Ramban is the Machmir in Yanei Bitachon. The Ramban understands that it's all about real Bitachon is just throwing myself entirely on Ribono Sholem. That's what we start off looking at verse number 17 from Madrigal Sha'ad, and there's a nice quote of it. That the Ramban's form of bitachon is lehashlich al Hashem levad b'li shum siba. I'm totally on the Ribono Shel Olam. It's a chumrah bitachon. Maybe don't go to doctors in front of the Madrega. It's a big chumrah in the world of the ideal, as opposed to the Chovos HaLevavos, which is a bit of a kula. Chovos HaLevavos is much more open to your bitachon. He's much more to your ishtadlus. The lives that most of us live, engaged in a lot of ishtadlus, looks more like an ideal even, described by the Chovos HaLevavos. That's where people are really at. However, each one has chumras also. Chumras and kulas. They split when you deal with lemaisa. This is again, Rebecca Kamnetsky. The Ramban, who's the biggest machmir in bitachon, when you're at a certain level, like we said before, the Ramban understands that when you are no longer on that madrega, so my hishtadlus has to be a hishtadlus that allows me to succeed b'derech hateva. That once I really am no longer on that madrega of bitachon, so my hishtadlus is make sure that you're doing enough to get the job done. You want to make $20,000 a year, so I got to try to make $20,000 a year. You want to make $100,000 a year, $50,000, whatever it is. But the Ramban understands once I'm playing the derech hateva. So now hishtadlus for the Ramban in our metzias, where we're not on that madrega, hishtadlus for the Ramban becomes you're really there and you're trying the best of your ability to, again, we want to be ba'alei bitachon, we want to have bitachon, but the function of my hishtadlus is playing many ways in the realm of derech hateva. The Chovos HaLevavos understands there's no stira at all between hishtadlus and bitachon. For the Ramban, there's a tension. You take the hishtadlus track, you're not that much of a ba'al bitachon. You have real bitachon, so you don't have that much hishtadlus. For the Chovos HaLevavos, the two go hand in hand. And they go hand in hand that even if, when I'm engaged in hishtadlus, this is the chumrah of the Chovos HaLevavos. Yeah, you're allowed to engage in hishtadlus, but when I'm engaged in hishtadlus, the Chovos HaLevavos, don't believe that it's your job, that you're doing it. Don't believe you're functioning on derech hateva. Even when I'm engaged, says the Chovos HaLevavos, in serious hishtadlus, I have to always know that it's God that's always in control, always one determining everything that's going to happen. It's not the result of my... For the Ramban, once I've chosen the hishtadlus track, my success is the result of my hishtadlus, l'chora. Now I'm functioning in derech hateva. According to the Chovos HaLevavos, once I am engaged in hishtadlus, even if I'm engaged, there's no stira to having a lot of bitachon. So hishtadlus is, you have to fulfill your chiyuv, with derech hateva. You have to go to your work, you have to work hard, you have to have a lot of hishtadlus. But says the Chovos HaLevavos, that hishtadlus that you are having, you have to understand, it's all Ribono Shel Olam that's in control of what you will get and what you won't get. And sometimes that hishtadlus will be as a result of your bitachon. Sometimes the success will come as a direct result of your Zahadus, sometimes not. But all I have to do is I have to fulfill my Chiyav, and the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of the rest. Rav Sternbach says that was the Chet of Yosef. Not like the Beis HaLevi said he shouldn't have done Hishtadlus. No. Chovas HaLevavos Mahalach. Yosef should have done Hishtadlus. Asking the Sar HaMashkim, again in one of his dayas, was probably appropriate to ask Sar HaMashkim. What was the problem? The problem was that even though he engaged in Hishtadlus, an appropriate form of Hishtadlus, like the Chovas HaLevavos understands, the kind of Hishtadlus he engaged in, Yosef thought the Yeshua is going to come through this Hishtadlus. He thought it's going to be through the Sar HaMashkim that I'm going to be freed. Hishtadlus is good, but the problem, says Rav Sternbach, part of the issue, the medrash critiquing Yosef, is that he thought his Hishtadlus was going to cause the result. No. Yosef, you got to do your Hishtadlus. When you do your Hishtadlus, you have to know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one, ultimately, who is in charge. Ultimately, the one who's going to be establishing and koveya so much. Let me say, let me just try and chazer and maybe end with a point or two. We spoke today, tried to outline a couple main mahalachim in terms of the relationship between bitachon and hishtadlus. Mahalach number one understands that at least in the ideal world, hishtadlus would be unnecessary. It's all about bitachon. All hishtadlus ever is a heter, the way the Beis HaLevi says it, in order to help you get to a point where you have greater bitachon, or hishtadlus is b'derech hateva because you're not in that madrega. So yeah, you need hishtadlus, but it's not really an ideal reality. Chovas HaLevavos understands that no, Hishtadlus is something which is really very, very important. Hishtadlus is something which I have to invest in. Hishtadlus is something which going to a doctor, getting a parnasa, all those things are totally necessary. Hishtadlus for him, though, is not an excuse to not have bitachon. Hishtadlus with Chovas HaLevavos is that even though I have a chiv of Hishtadlus, that fits very well with bitachon, I can still believe that ultimately it's all coming from Hishmaya. Just I have a chiv of bitachon because of Hishtadlus, because it's a test to make sure I'm doing things in a mature way. It's a way of ensuring I'm not going to be sinning as much. I'm going to be kept busy. And the like. We saw a little bit of a middle approach where bitachon hishtadlus, it's a question of doing a degree of hishtadlus, but not all you have to do. Just doing enough hishtadlus to sort of try and b'derech hateva, things could be explained as a result. Let me try and just note two points for us to understand. One, we at our own madrega, we all live in a world where we need to be going to doctors. We all live in a world where we need to be positioning ourselves to be able to succeed professionally, financially, and the like. Pasha. However, one of the things which is very, very clear from many of the Makoros that we're seeing is that being engaged in Hishtadlus is not at all a stira to cultivating a real sense of bitachon. A real sense of bitachon. To also, at the same time that I'm working, that I want to recognize that the impact of Ribbono Shel Olam, the way that things ultimately are in his control and not in my control. You start seeing this a lot in life. Cultivating that midah of bitachon is very, very important. Even just asking the question sometimes, is this or not the necessary amount of hishtadlus? Should I be doing less hishtadlus? When is it too much? When is it taking a toll on things? Those are all fair questions that a person has to really ask. A lot of these things, the way the Chovas HaLevavos says it, are determined ahead of time. A lot of what we have to do is to achiv of hishtadlus, but we have to make sure that we are continuing to cultivate a midah of bitachon. Most of us, most people nowadays, need a bit less work in terms of the significance of hishtadlus that we very much appreciate and understand, at least in our world. What we do need is a bit more sometimes insight into the incredible impact of bitachon. It is often very challenging to know the line between what's called appropriate hishtadlus and what's called a chisaron in bitachon. Many of the same acts of rodents, like here we pointed out, notice about the Rishonim. It's on the sheet here. Avram, when we quoted this Ramban in the last couple of weeks, when Avram was in Eretz Yisrael, he went down to Mitzrayim in the time of a rav, in the time of a famine. So we have some tension there in terms of Ein Som Chanal Hanes. On the one hand, maybe Avram should have gone down. It's called necessary hishtadlus. On the other hand, Ramban says, no, he should have had more bitachon. A lot of the sheet that we outline now are somewhat complex. The Ramban himself, as we go through the Ramban in other weeks and other sugyas, we're going to learn more about the Ramban. We'll pin down some more of the nuance of the Ramban. We'll see different Rambans that maybe put us in a slightly different direction. But as far as today goes, hopefully this is a bit of a nice overview of the general topic. Shkoyach, guys. Have a wonderful Shabbat.